Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Diamond.
Hi, Gandhi.
It's episode, I think this might be episode 10. We're into the double digits, baby.
Wow, I'm into it. Congrats.
Thanks. Congrats to us. You're part of this.
Yeah.
I hope you get paid for it.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Okay. I should look into that at some point, I guess. So today I'm really excited because we have on Ben Bolin and Noel Brown, who are the guys that do the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know podcast and like a bunch of other podcasts. And that means they talk about conspiracy theories, which I could get high and talk about conspiracy theories all day long. There are so many. Oh, but if I know Diamond, and I think I do,
okay,
you probably have a handful in your back pocket. We already know you aren't 100% sure about dinosaurs. Did that podcast change your mind at all?
Kind of.
No, it was an okay answer.
Like, no, it was like, okay, well, I think that once we start talking about the fact that we really don't know what they looked like and Reptar from the Rugrats is like completely out of place, like it's just no, I think that I'll open up to it. And that conversation was good because he basically confirmed that we really don't know what they really looked like.
No, we have no idea.
So, yeah.
Okay. So tell me about a conspiracy theory that you believe you're like all in on.
I don't think that we ever landed on the damn moon. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Are you sorry?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I need more, okay? I need more answers. I need, why haven't we been back? You
okay.
know? Oh, well, we just went back recently, right?
But yeah.
Like,
well, not
we
humans,
never
but yeah.
landed again, gotten off of the damn spaceship, and chilled in a crater as if it was a hammock. Like, I want pictures of that.
Okay. You know? So what makes you think, aside from the fact that we haven't done it since, are there other things that make you think we haven't landed on the moon?
No.
It's okay.
just that. To me, that's the biggest thing.
Okay.
Like, we have all this money, and we're not going back to the moon. Oh, it's expensive. We waste money on everything, but we won't waste money on making sure that we go back to the moon and actually come back with actual concrete evidence this time.
If they came yeah. back with it, would you believe it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know?
We'll have to, like, live stream, like, Instagram.
Well, we have the technology to do that. So, yes. Like, give me more. You know? And then people die going to the moon after this first one happened.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't check out.
But that's like saying, I drove a car once, so you should never get in an accident. Like, shit happens, you know?
But why haven't we succeeded again?
This is
that's
a good
my question.
Question. We're going to have to see if we can ask these guys about it. I hope we remember to. Also, I would love to know, and I know India just did it, what's on the dark side of the moon? Because everything talked about is on one side of the moon, and there's this whole other undiscovered side of the moon.
Oh, no.
I would like to know what's on there. These guys aren't going to have that answer because they're just, you know, they talk about conspiracy theories. They're not scientists. We need to get an astronaut in here. By the way, I've DM'd a couple astronauts. They have ignored me.
Oh, they're too smart to come to the podcast?
They might be. Maybe they're just like, this girl asks way too many questions and we don't want to entertain a fifth grader, so F you. But either way, I'm coming for you guys again. It's one is an Asian man and one is a black woman and I want them both.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, but let's just get to it. Bring them in. two of my favorite guys, Ben Bolin and Noel Brown from the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know podcast. Mm-hmm. That is how I found you guys through that. Wow. You came on The Big Show with Elvis. Oh. We talked about all kinds of stuff.
The Big Show. I love that. Mm-hmm.
That's what we call it. That, yeah. That's The Big Show. This is like The Little Show.
I like it. We take all sizes. Yes.
We talked about glitter.
We did. Well, first of all, thank you guys for joining me. Uh-huh. I know you came all the way from Atlanta, and I love you for doing that. The first thing is the podcast that you guys do that I know you from, you dive into all types of conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And you also highlight conspiracies that I have never heard about. You don't call people conspiracy theorists. Mm-mm. You call them conspiracy realists.
Yes.
Okay, explain that.
It's an important distinction. Let's hear it.
Nowadays, the term conspiracy theory has been kind of weaponized, right? And we associate it with some very out there wackadoo and sometimes dangerous things. But to do that is kind of dismissing critical thinking. And that's what our show is. It's critical thinking applied to these strange things. And the fact of the matter is that when you delve into a lot of quote-unquote conspiracy theories, you can often find grains of truth behind it. You know, like saying that there is one mystery purchaser of glitter is true, and it is a conspiracy. It just happens to be real. But then that's very different from saying, you know, the like Queen Elizabeth is a secret half alien, half human hybrid.
Reptilian type.
Yeah, reptilian, yeah, and no one should know.
I believe that one.
Certainly doesn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the funny thing, too, is the conspiracy theories in their most wacky form are like a modern form of folklore. Mm-hmm. And usually, when you trace the roots of folklore, there is a grain of truth somewhere buried down deep within all of the mm-hmm. game of telephone that history creates.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the glitter, because this one has fascinated me, and I've actually brought it up on our show, on the morning show, mm-hmm. and people tell me I'm crazy. So who wants to take the glitter theory?
Oh, well, there's a couple of possibilities,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, one. I think one that I am a fan of is the idea of microtaggants.
Right.
Right? That, like, basically, like, there's a substance that you can put into explosives that basically identify where they came from.
It's like giving explosives fingerprints.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's like a watermark on a photo.
The thing is, when people are saying check the facts, it's because no one outside of that weird conspiracy knows who the number one consumer of glitter is. We also know it's a pretty rarefied industry in the U.S. And when it's a rarefied industry, when there are not a ton of people in it, it becomes easier to do things like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think it's what, two or three
big companies. One of them in Jersey, I believe.
Right. I think they're mostly in Jersey.
I think that's weird.
I feel like Jersey is all about glitter.
It's all about that glitter.
Jersey and Kesha fans.
That's
and there might be an overlap there.
A Venn diagram. Yeah.
Kesha is all about that glitter. That's true. Mm-hmm. But the microtaggants essentially would be little kind of tiny pieces of glitter or plastic confetti, which is basically what glitter is.
Yeah.
It's really bad for the environment too, by the way.
Awful.
That has little micro printing on it or color pattern that if something is detonated or exploded, it will scatter these pieces, and people in the know can say, okay, we can trace this back to a particular manufacturer of explosives or a particular country or government,
so it's
whatever.
Like writing your name on a bomb.
Essentially, yes. Is that right? Ben?
Fingerprints fingerprints for bomb. The other idea is being paint on marine craft, so like cruise ships, and well, you know, you see a boat and the hull is kind of like shiny,
yeah,
and glittery
all the time.
Candy paint,
and the idea, yeah, the candy paint, yes, nice hip hop for the win. the idea there is that it's a secret. Because these large industries don't want people to know that the paint can have a bad effect on the environment.
Because it's microplastics.
It's awful.
And it ends up, like, there's layers of the stuff at the bottom of the ocean, and it ain't going anywhere.
Nope.
You know?
It's also in our blood.
That's right.
Yes.
As we've talked about, I was on a Kesha cruise. I got onto an elevator, and there was a man with a pocket full of glitter.
Why?
He pulled it out and just blew it in my face, and I swear to you, it's still in my lungs.
It's in my eyes.
To this day.
I'm so sorry. That's an act of aggression.
That is assault.
I think also, I do have to, just while we're on the subject, before we move on, I do have to say this. When we did that glitter episode, someone that I had previously, for a long time, considered a close friend, decided to mail me an envelope of glitter.
The glitter bombed you?
Uh-huh.
Monstrous.
So, Steve, if you hear
that's
this,
an act of aggression.
The war is still on.
Yeah, again, assault.
Assault.
Assault via the mail. How dare they?
Last thing we did discover, though, there are eco-friendly forms of glitter that are made out of eggshells.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Which makes sense, because you know, you can get eggs of different varieties that come in different colors. If you smush them up and then make it into like sort of a powder, it's sort of glittery.
I would also imagine some shells are pretty glittery.
Oh, 100%.
Like alabaster?
They're iridescent.
Right?
Yes.
They have that shiny little look.
And those are already in the ocean. Those are fine for the ocean because they're like from there.
Right. So they can just go right back to there. Okay, so in short, there is one or two, you say one purchaser, one massive
one
purchaser.
U.S. military is our main theory, right?
It's often thought to be the U.S. military, which makes sense because, you know, the U.S. military does a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It does. If it is like signing your name to an explosive, why would anyone do that?
I've often wondered that as well.
Yeah.
It's more about the manufacturer.
It's like,
kind of.
It's like the some sort of law requires these explosives, certain explosives, to be identifiable. So if someone is up to some illegal shenanigans, then it will help the authorities figure out what is going on and like trace the provenance of it or the chain of manufacture.
They're referred to as identification particles. And
oh,
so it
sexy.
is very much a thing. And there's a company called Microtrace Solutions that specializes in this. And it says, uniquely encoded for your application, microtag and identification particles have multiple levels of security within each particle. These microscopic particles contain multiple color layers, which translate to a numeric code. In addition to this base structure, we can add other materials to the microtag to aid in location and authentication.
Okay,
it can
so
be
that's
things
what
like
we
UV
said.
Lights.
That's what we said.
This is news to me. There's a lot of other special upgrades you can get for your microtag.
Well, of course, because they're selling it. They're like, you can get microtag premium.
It says how microtagants can help. Authenticating your product with multiple visible color responses. Choosing covert or overt level of security.
That part's important.
It's almost for you more than it is for others, too. So you can, like, someone couldn't say, you did this bomb, right?
Right.
Or, like, false flag you and say, the U.S. government bombed this, whatever. You could say, no, because our microtagants aren't in it. You know
right,
what I
mean? There's still so much wiggle room in there where if one government finds out what the other's tag is, you frame them.
1,000,000%. 100%.
And also, you know, if you're talking about legal versus illegal, of course, every legal handgun has a serial number in it.
Right.
And then there are all the ones that have the serial number filed off of it.
Yes.
And they still operate the same. So I would love to believe that this is exactly how it's going, but I feel like there's some sketchy stuff behind it.
What?
There's
no way.
No doubt about it.
So sketchy.
That's the thing, too. We'll get to a place where here are some possibilities, here are some options, but usually in most episodes, we don't end with like a here's what's up, 100%. It's very rare, but that's sort of what separates us, I think, from other shows in this space. Let's just be a douchebag and say that. because a lot of people really do try to say, we have the answers.
For
we
sure.
know it. We'd have, and a lot of that is very kind of fear-mongery and trying to get people scared by saying, we know who the true enemy is and it is this the ops, you know? Mm. We don't do that. We try to like educate people, give people the information they need to make their own choices and then move on.
And I think that's one of the reasons that we click so hard is because in your work, at least I personally, I see a lot of that exploration, right? Like a lot of no stone left unturned. I am curious about this thing. I want to learn more about it. I just want to say that's something that I really appreciate. And not everybody... choosing my words carefully here.
You don't have to. It's a podcast.
There we go. Right. Okay. The FCC is not going to get us.
No, you say whatever you want.
I think a lot of people... a lot of people could do with more of that in their lives. So I just wanted to you on air say I really appreciate that.
I love you for that. I think I oftentimes get accused of being a contrarian or the devil's advocate, but I come from an Indian family where my dad beat it into our heads. Always ask a question, always follow the money trail, always ask who conducted the survey, why did they conduct the survey, who did they sample, and what is the outcome? When you get the outcome, how does that affect somebody in one way or another?
Beautiful.
So I'm always looking at things from those lenses, and people get very irritated.
Those are the main points that we use in our explorations.
But do you guys find people getting irritated at you when you ask questions?
Especially if it's something that is to them a matter of their, like, they have a personal identification with it, right? Or they feel that asking a question is somehow an attack on their character or identity when you're just asking a question. And I love what your dad is saying about the source of a study, right? And the intention behind it. I've been obsessed with for a while now. It's not something that happens in other countries, but in the United States, thanks to Edward Bernays, we have a ton of stuff like that. And my favorite is 9 out of 10 dentists. I always wonder who the 10th renegade dentist is.
He's and out why didn't you sociopath. Recommend that toothpaste?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's fighting Big Crest or something. He's on the lam. He's off the grid. That's
and so it's always funny. 9 out of 10 dentists surveyed. So if you find all of the dentists who are getting paid off by Big Crest,
right.
then of course.
And also, why are we assuming it's a dude? You know what I mean?
Ooh,
that's a very good point, Ben. Well, I think it's interesting, too, with the survey stuff, where we run into a lot of situations where we're looking at scientific studies that are conducted by, like, say, Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the thing with mm-hmm. Purdue and all of the stuff around OxyContin and, you know, being mm-hmm. not addictive or less addictive.
Mm-hmm. Good
and,
for you.
And we know that was, you know, largely bad science, right? But it was scientists that were in the pocket or in the employ, at the very mm-hmm. least, of this Big Pharma, and they had a preconceived conclusion that they were trying to get to justify them being able to sell this very lucrative drug. So that's a great example of, like, we need to think about the source, consider the source. And no shade on scientists, we talk about this all the time, but a lot of times the folks that end up in high positions at these companies, you know, are folks that have come from, you know, lobbying, for example.
Sure.
And they have this sort of in, you know, with these sources, and it's
that's why you never trust a rich scientist. You always have to wonder why. Well, how did you get rich? What is going on? Is what are, like, you skewing?
Is that like skinny cook?
Yeah, don't trust the skinny chef.
That's
You're
true.
Not eating your food.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are some things that you remember where people accused you of being contrarian?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so many things. But there was a study about
Air quotes, by the way, in case this is audio for people.
Yeah. Right. Oh yes, air quotes. There was a study that said people who read Harry Potter books tend to be more open-minded to the world in general. Mm-hmm. And they were specifically talking about Harry Potter books. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, could you not apply that to really people who read in general? Mm-hmm. Because if you're reading, and if you're reading science fiction, you have a mind that is open to all of these different possibilities, and it's open to different creatures, alien life form, whatever
it is. The possibilities.
Would we just assign that to Harry Potter fans, or could we assign that to people who read in general and read science fiction in general?
Yeah.
And when I tell you, Harry Potter fans
came for me.
They were so angry, like, you bitch, why can't you just let us have this? Okay, I'll let you have
let us have this.
I'm just asking the question, how does that not relate to other things?
Right.
And I think that that kind of stuff happens a lot of times with stupid pop culture stuff, you know. The survey says, whatever it is, I just always have the question, and then people are like, you're such a pain in the ass.
Have you seen this whole hubbub about the actress Miriam Margolyes, who played, I guess it was sort of a bit part, Professor Pomona Sprout? She's Australian. She's 82. She said, if your balls have dropped, then you need to let it go. That's her words, not
Why
mine.
Why can't you just let people like things if they're not hurting someone else?
Right.
I she is also, I will give her points, though, because she's, I think, the same person. She said something that I thought took a lot of chutzpah. She was supposed to be in an upcoming Marvel Studios TV show.
I think it was meant to be WandaVision. She was going to be a witchy type.
Yeah, maybe the Agatha thing coming out. And she said, I don't like America. I didn't want to go. Instead of saying no, she went back to the Marvel people and said, I'll do it for £1 million.
Yes, sterling.
And they said, well, that's a lot. They came back and they said, we can give you half of that. And she said, then no.
No.
Because her idea was that she would appear as though she were playing ball and just set the
Win-win
for her.
I guess
she either doesn't have to do it, or she gets £1 million in sterling.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, you know, she says she hates America, she hates Georgia, but man, in Australia, it's beautiful. But they've got spiders that'll kill you.
Everything in
one
Australia
go.
Tries to kill you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. I still want to go.
Yeah, I dated an Australian once. That stuff is true.
Tried to kill you?
Yeah. Excellent. Oh yeah. Just recreationally, like we weren't even fighting.
I have an internet friend who I met through the podcast actually, and she and her partner live in like the deep, deep bush. You know, of like mega deep.
That is
a
great way to describe where you're living.
That's exactly that's what it is. It's the bush. Yeah. But she just has these amazing nature photographs, and these creatures, they look like shit on the Avatar planet. Mm. Like they shouldn't exist in the world. Their eyes are out of proportion with the rest of their body.
Hey, now,
stuff,
so's mine.
That's fair. But no, I just mean like, what is this hybrid beast that I'm looking at? It doesn't make any sense.
Let's go
and
to
it
Australia.
Can probably kill you.
Let's go to Australia, because I'm a very peaceful person, but I've been involved in several conversations now, and I have something to prove, Gandhi. I think I could take a kangaroo, like in a one-on-one,
Ben.
If it came down to it.
It could rip your arms off your body, bro.
Have you seen some of these kangaroos?
They are so
swole. They're like Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, not...
In his heyday.
Not like a top-tier Tyson kangaroo.
Oh.
But like, you
maybe
know,
a
regular...
Kinda, okay.
Like a wallaby?
An up-and-comer.
That's not fair. That would be like playing Little League as an adult.
You have to sweep the leg. If you can sweep the leg, you might have a fight.
Again,
chance.
Have you seen their legs? Those are like rafter legs. Those
you
got to... Strong.
You gotta stick and move.
They can apparently disembowel you with a kick.
Yeah, if you're slow.
Of course. So you think you're stronger and faster than an average kangaroo.
You heard it here,
mid
kangaroo. Mid
kangaroo. You think you can take it? I'll tell you what.
Right. Into the fighting pits with you, my friends.
If at any point you actually decide to do this, I will hands down absolutely buy a ticket to come and watch this happen.
Better be a ticket.
And I will bring medical professionals.
Okay.
For either you or the kangaroo.
Okay.
Because someone's not going to fare well in this fight. But I'm excited to see it.
Thank you. Yeah,
good. Absolutely. So you guys talk about all kinds of stuff. We were just talking about crazy life forms on this planet, which we're still discovering all the time. The ocean is fascinating.
Yeah. Cryptids, we call them in the space. But speaking of Australia, that's a great possibility for the, all of this undiscovered country out there where like you could well, there could well be things hiding
Tasmanian
in the deep, deep
tiger.
Bush.
Hell
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always fascinated when they find a new species on Earth, on the actual land.
Yeah, because it should be the ocean.
Right, it should be the ocean. And then if we're still finding new stuff on land where we, you know, reign free, I can't even imagine what is down there.
The
I would
parts
love,
where the, no
you know,
light will reach.
They find an like an anime-level squid every, it seems like every 3 months
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah. These true. Massive
it's unbelievable.
Things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gravity obviously doesn't take a toll on them or affect them in any way, so they could be very big and fluid. Like, I just think it's awesome, and I would love to think about it. When you go to Australia.
Yes.
Before
please.
You get murdered by kangaroos.
Yes.
We'll see.
So I have.
I'm sorry, Ben. I'm in your corner. You should be more supportive.
No, you're
this.
Giving me that moment where I could just, with quiet, almost dangerous confidence, go, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's good to have a detractor because then when you win, you're like, aha.
Right.
Took that kangaroo down. But I have been saying I'm going to do a podcast called Can I Touch It?
Yes.
Where I just go around and see,
yeah.
Can I touch the thing?
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot in Australia that I would love to discover.
Yeah.
Crocodiles, kangaroo, platypus, Tasmanian devil.
Just two
I guess
fingers, like in the touch tank at the
aquarium. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Just lightly. Mm-hmm. I think that they'll read my vibes and it'll be fine.
I think that's
right.
true.
It has not always worked out for me, but we're going to try.
I like it.
It'll be great. But back to these creatures, I know you guys do a lot with aliens and UFOs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are some of the more credible things that you've discovered?
Well, now is the time. It's a golden time for credible UFO talk.
Why do you think that is? Why now more than ever?
Well, there's
the government's finally copping to it, basically.
There was this very surreal moment amid the pandemic where everybody had their lives upended. They were living in times of chaos. There's a lot of isolation, loneliness, fear. And the U.S. government came out and said, hey, yeah, by the way, guys, happy Friday. We think aliens are real. Peace. And then everyone else in the world just went, yeah, all right, I get it. I got
right?
a lot
the timing
going on.
Was very sus.
Yes, the timing was sus. That 4:30 Friday afternoon announcement, right? Just sit on that for the weekend. A big part of it is, from what we can tell, one of the most credible possibilities is that there is human-made technology that hasn't been disclosed. Because historically, a lot of UFO or UAP reports from like Project Blue Book and so on, they turned out to be stealth aircraft. And the government made this sort of cost-benefit thing where they said, okay, the best way to cover this stuff up is not to immediately shut it down or arrest and imprison people. It's to just sort of lean into the yes and improv and be like, yeah, dude, maybe Martians.
In the disclosure documents, though, that were highly redacted and pretty vague overall, wasn't there like a line or two that was like, but then there's this other thing?
There's still stuff they couldn't prove. And part of that could be explained by the fact that they're very siloed in these different departments. And I mean, that's how most
bureaucracy,
government,
am I right?
Right. Yeah. That's how most government operates at a big level. So
air gap kind of between the
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's completely possible that there could be one team in one department who's like, holy shit, what is going on? And the people who could explain it are somewhere else and they don't know about it, or they don't want to tell the other dudes. But then also, you know, statistically, it is, given what we know about the size of the universe, it is inevitable that there's other intelligent life out there.
Oh, there has to be.
There has to be.
To me, that's just a fact. Whether it's provable or not, it's definitely out there.
I agree.
But that's, I guess.
And then it's like, when aliens land, you know, I hope they meet you first, and you got to reach out and touch.
Absolutely.
Just to see
can I touch
things?
It? Yeah. We'll find out. And if that's how I go out, that'll be a glorious story.
That'd be amazing. You will be like the coolest person in
she
history.
She tried to touch an alien.
And then she blipped out into dark matter. You
just
know.
Vanished. Uh-huh. So you guys both believe in aliens.
I don't know what to call them. You know, honestly, it's almost like I don't necessarily believe in a Christian God per se, but there's got to be something, whether that's aliens, whether that's some divine, you know,
yeah,
prime
bigger
mover,
than us.
Bigger than us.
Because humans and are, and Earth
I lump
is
that in
ghetto.
With aliens,
the
supernatural stuff, aliens, all of that's the thing, the unseen movers, that's what I believe. I don't know what to call it, though, and I think that's a fine place to be. I'm comfortable with that. I don't need to know everything or have all the answers.
The other question is, like, it sometimes gets lumped into an umbrella thing. Like, it sounds as though we have all accepted the mathematical reality that there has to be intelligent life somewhere out there in the ink. But that's a very different question from saying we also think these folks traveled somehow across the chasms of time and space.
Because they care about us.
To visit the bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because
right.
The Earth in the solar system, we are the trashy house. We got a bunch of stuff in low Earth orbit. It's like
we're
cars.
We're shooting our trash into space.
We're shooting trash into space.
We should talk a little
space.
Bit about
disgusting.
That. With the satellites and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, gosh,
and like
yeah.
Just the space trash problem. Yeah.
But I don't know. That's
where do
that's
you land
point.
On it, Ben? We've never really overtly talked about that exactly.
Like, oh.
Just it's like, you know, we just do our thing. We spend a lot of time together, but I've never been, Ben, do you believe? Like, it's not really come up, you know?
Now's your moment.
As far as aliens landing on Earth, the closest thing that seems the most plausible is a brilliant idea or theory with a very silly name. Apologies to everyone in the audience. Panspermia. The idea, it's true, it's the idea that life on Earth, which we still can't explain how this whole thing started happening, life on Earth may have come from somewhere else, maybe a comet or an asteroid or something that
we share some commonality
that
with it?
Life yeah. came from gotcha. Whatever that traveler was, whatever you want to call it, and then we just sort of evolved from there. I think that's a plausible explanation.
It's like the sowing of galactic wild oats, or the galactic sowing of wild oats.
Yeah, but I want to see an extraterrestrial so yeah. bad.
Me too.
You too?
So yeah. bad. I think the coolest thing is we can only really imagine all of the things that are within our realm of imagination.
Right,
reading
yeah.
through all that kind of stuff, maybe yeah. some shrooms. I just want to see something
mm-hmm.
that is outside the realm of anything I could ever imagine.
Yeah. yeah.
I just want to see it.
I want to have my mind blown.
Yes, blow my mind, please.
yeah, yeah.
With you on the shrooms.
The aliens land.
No doubt.
Take us to your leader. First off, will you guys do a trick?
Right. First of all, hold my hand so I can say I touched it. Yeah. Here we go. I think it would be awesome. I would love to see it. I would not be afraid of an extraterrestrial because here's my thought. If they can reach us and we have not reached them, allegedly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have to be a lot smarter than us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that they sort of look at us as like maybe a little puppy
yeah.
or something.
Aww,
ah,
that's
this
cute.
Is just like, oh, you're so cute, little
cute
earthlings
little
that can't get out of here.
They would have already destroyed us too.
You would think.
Would that be their
one
intent?
Would think.
Right. If they can get here, they're way superior to us
right.
anyway. So if they have a bad intention, it would have been carried mm-hmm. out. Maybe that's stupid of me,
I don't think so.
I would absolutely be the person outside like, hi!
Yes!
Come
do
on
it.
Down here! So you guys do all of this on your show, on your podcast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think the best part is sort of what you said, Noel, that you don't come to a conclusion at the end of it. You
it's
just toss
rare.
Out all the
which
ideas.
Which bothers some people a lot.
Sort of a little shit story, which I'm a fan of. But it's also like unsolved mysteries. I'll tell you what, I watched the new episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm kind of pissed off. How did they not get to the bottom of this? Mm. The show is called Unsolved Mysteries.
That's a good point.
They right. will not be solved.
That
but
is.
I like that.
Well, we also...
We do know. When appropriate. If it's
appropriate,
you know, oftentimes there is an answer. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of these things are inherently thought experiments, and mm-hmm. that's the most fun for us, I think.
We don't want to mandate belief. We don't want to tell people what they should be thinking. Usually, some of the most interesting thoughts come from those questions we ask. A big fan, you know, hashtag no question left behind, etc. right? Even when off air, and I can say this on the show, even off air, we're done with something and we've gotten too close to it and we're like frustrated. And one of us might say, he fucking killed that lady. And, like, it was definitely him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would
but
say
we don't put that on there, Noel.
We don't necessarily need to say what our particular opinion is about whether or not that person killed that person.
Right.
You know?
Is it helpful,
it's
to the conversation,
helpful to the conversation,
or is it a rant?
But
okay.
Very rarely will we say something off air that we wouldn't say on air.
We're thinking through it.
So what are some of the things that, at the end of the episode, you've come to a conclusion about?
Okay. A lot of government corruption stuff turns out to be completely true.
Okay.
A great deal of conspiracies involving the pursuit of money and government corruption are true. And what usually happens here, Con, is first someone gets a little big for their britches, and then they mess up, and then they try to cover it up. And that's what's happening. A lot of conspiracies originate as mistakes or pursuits of power. For instance, the Sackler family conspiracy, absolutely true. You mentioned that earlier.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, while they didn't get, like, meaningfully punished, at least the ones that actually perpetrated the most egregious crimes. We know that they did it. There was acknowledgement that they did it on purpose, that they more or less falsified that data, or at the very least paid the right scientists to come to the conclusions they wanted. And they created a nationwide opioid epidemic, and people died.
A lot of the addicted. Drug stuff is true, actually. Absolutely. Like the drug war stuff.
Can we talk a bit about the blood, the bad blood stuff we've been doing lately?
Yeah.
This is a bit of a bummer and heavy, but it's important.
Tainted blood.
Whoa.
So,
give a little levity at the top because it gets
smelly. Yeah. So we'll keep this one short so it doesn't feel terrible.
You have plenty of time. Do whatever you want. We can always edit it down. You're good. Okay. Go for it.
I will just lead off by saying that this was the story that got me the most suspicious about Bill Clinton.
Cut two. Arkansas. It's the 70s, it's the 80s. Arkansas, like many states in this country, has a terrifying history when it comes to incarceration and prisons. And in that part of the country, they had prison farms. These prison farms were
legalized slavery.
Yes, right. Were very much. Yeah, they were very much enslaving people. And in what we came in with was the story that these prison officials before and during the governorship of Bill Clinton, noted amateur saxophonist, and also did some other stuff, I guess.
But, talking about a cigar and everything.
They were running this program where they would get prisoners to donate blood plasma, and they would pay them a negligible
coupons.
Amount of prison script, farm script. And they knew these guys had hepatitis. They knew they carried HIV. They also didn't bother to clean the needles or preserve the samples. They
and the prisoners
mixed it in.
The prisoners were running the lab.
The prisoners were running the lab.
So they'd be like, "Oh, hey, it's Steve. Yeah, I know he has Hep C, but he really wants those commissary coupons.
Right.
Let's turn a blind eye." So a lot of blood was donated by people that were known to have had these things. I mean, and, you know, as a citizen, you can't donate blood if you've had a tattoo.
Right.
And they mix this stuff together. They mix all these samples together. So they're spreading these infections among the population in the prison. And then they franchise it pretty much. They go global and they sell this stuff to biotech companies who use it to make a treatment for hemophiliacs, women who have experienced challenges in childbirth, people in car accidents, all this other stuff.
Since then, those medications have been able to be made using synthesized plasma.
Right.
But at the time, the only way to do it was with real plasma.
And people getting this did not know that it was coming from prisoners. They found, you know, you get out of a surgery, your life is already pretty tough for a couple months, right? And then you learn that, oh, now you also have hepatitis C. Or you're a hemophiliac and you're required to have this treatment on a regular basis.
You barely have any recourse of, like, who do I blame?
France,
who's responsible?
Italy, Japan, Canada, they all got affected. We looked further into it and we found that the history of the Arkansas prison system dating back to the 40s was rooted in human experimentation. So that's why they put
Level stuff.
Really grody stuff. And so that's why this was sort of the perfect storm of a very true, very evil conspiracy. And like Noel was saying, you know, we had this moment while we were recording and I remember the moment you were shocked, and it stayed with you after we got off the air, because Noel has this moment where he goes, "Hang on, Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton was governor then?" And then we said, "Yeah, he was." And did he know? Was it just like a series of political kickbacks to look the other way?
He certainly pointed some of his buds to like high-level positions within this sweetheart deal, you know, in terms of, because it was a government contract. They basically prison farmed out
Ouch.
This plasma stuff to these biotech companies through these very lucrative contracts, and then that material was used to make these medications. And you can see situations where you're like, Clinton had to have known, because there were multiple red flags, and then they'd shut it down briefly and then keep it going.
Yikes.
Real stuff.
Big shout out to Kelly Duda, by the way, who is
the documentarian
who really cracked a lot of this research. I believe he's working on a project to really do a deep dive into this I think in the podcast space, but he's got a documentary that's a little hard to find, but we did find it.
Right.
And, what is it?
It's called Factor 8.
Factor 8, which
is the name of the blood plasma product that they gave to people. And as a result of his investigation, there are lawsuits that come about. He had to go testify in a court in Italy. And between us, I think the court was crooked. I'm just going to be very clear.
Yeah, right?
The Italian court system?
No, they essentially held him for slander or for libel in some way.
They tried to, it just gets crooked because a lot of these global conglomerates, pharmaceutical conglomerates, have tremendous power. We know it's a downer, but then we started looking into other stuff, like that blood donations, transfusions are so incredibly important. The technology has saved millions and millions of lives.
Also make billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, and when that money comes in, the opportunity for bad actors just escalates, and it may continue. There's still like an ongoing case in the nation of China where they did something similar, exploiting rural villagers.
Again, shock.
Yeah, I can see the shock on your face.
This is crazy.
We talked about that the other day, and there were so many parallels between the isolated nature of living in rural China and being a farmer, not making ends meet, and being a prisoner who is just wants a little bit of money they can buy cigarettes, you know, or whatever it is that you buy at the commissary.
You're right, and it's a heartbreaking thing, and, you know, is it not horrifying that we're not surprised when we hear this stuff? That really, I think, paints an unflattering picture of society. And behind the curtain, I started to feel like a freaking vampire because I was like, we're talking about blood a lot on this show. And I've got to like dial it down on how often I'm asking people to give blood because I'm sounding a little, as you said, sus.
And also within the last thing on this topic, because it is heavy, blood brokers. It's literally a position, a job, being the middle person in these exchanges. And they clean up. There's also body brokers, people that are able to provide cadavers for various purposes of scientific experimentation. And there's a lot of weird, sus kind of regulations around that.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we're going to have to pause that because I don't know if you knew this or not. Sometimes we pre-record these. So I can just chop this up because we talked to these guys for a very long time and do the second half of this, which they get into all kinds of other stuff next week. Or maybe we'll even drop it today. I don't know how a two-parter works. I'm going to have to learn that. I know we still have to wrap up with what we would normally do. So let's start with the burn book because I want to burn the shit out of somebody.
Uh-oh.
Lyft driver Abdel Jalil.
Oh!
You are on my shit list, sir. I almost want to read off your license plate because let me tell you what happened.
Oh, God.
Did I tell you this?
No.
I had to take a piece of art somewhere, and it's a big piece of art. So it was pouring the other day. I call the Lyft. I know which cars that piece will fit in. And the answer is every car because I've never had an issue transporting these pieces ever. Called a regular Lyft. It's raining. He pulls up. I go out. I'm getting poured on. Open the door. He takes one look at me and says, "Are you ready? Get away from my car. That's not getting in my car."
What?
I said, "What's not?" I thought maybe there was like a dog or something behind me. I was like, "What's not getting in your car? You and that. I don't know what that is, but it's not getting in my car. It's too big. Get away from my car." And he's like reversing as he's yelling at me. So I'm standing there getting wet with this man yelling at me, telling me that something cannot fit into his car that absolutely can. But let me tell you, when a Lyft driver or an Uber driver or anything, if there's any inkling to me that they don't want to take me, I'm not getting in the car.
Yeah.
Because that's the last thing you want to do is like be in a car with someone that doesn't want you in there. That's crazy. Yeah. So I was like, what the fuck? So I backed up, left his car door wide open and just walked away from the curb so that his ass had to get out and come around the car and shut it.
Good.
And he acted like he was so put out by that. I reported his ass immediately. Lyft driver Abdel Jalil, you're on my shit list, man. He drives in New Jersey. I might just read off that plate at some point.
Abdel, what is it?
Abdel Jalil.
Abdel Jalil, fuck you.
You shitbag.
Yeah,
so mad
loser.
At you. Oh, I was so mad. And then the next car pulls up, same size car. I got in and I took a picture of myself with the piece of art and sent it to them, like, just so you know, we fit comfortably, me and this piece of art. Your driver's a shitbag and was reversing also. Like, get a life.
Ugh. What a loser.
To you, I say,
I would have pretended as if he ran over my foot. And then what? You know, now we're in this together.
There was too much going on.
Now we're going to the emergency room and your ass is going down. I'm calling the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
I was really mad at him. I was really mad. And then I was like, is it petty to have left the door open? Yes. But do I feel badly? No.
As you should have.
Not at all.
Fuck you.
I would have tipped him well, too, because it was raining and everything, but whatever. Screw you, buddy. Burn.
Yeah, loser.
I like that we make our own sound effects.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like it.
All right. Do we have an Ask Me Anything?
We do. Oh, I don't remember who it was from.
Okay. You want me to open that back
up?
But
no, we're good.
Okay.
We're good. They know that they asked. They want to know, do you still have kidney stones? Which is a question that I want to know the answer to as well.
Knock on wood, the answer is at last scan, no. We good, baby. I actually got really paranoid the other day just because... little inside scoop. One of the things that one of my doctors told me was that he has a little bit of concern that I have a very high pain threshold because with some of the stuff that was going on, even after the fact, they would ask me like, how much are you hurting? And I would always say, well, not a lot. But their answer or what they thought the answer should be was you're in a lot of pain because of these things that are going on. But I wasn't. So he said he really wants me to keep an eye on it. And anything that seems even slightly amiss, go get it checked out. So now, you know, I'm paranoid. And in my head, even if I like sneeze, I'm like, was that a pain? I don't know. Because I should have felt all this stuff. I didn't feel it. But I went to my doctor. I got blood work. Knock on wood. That's clear. And I'm actually going to go get an ultrasound pretty soon here just to double check and make sure that we're all good and everything's okay and that it was like a one-off fluke.
Wow.
So as of now, knock on wood or Formica, whatever this is. Hope you can hear that. No, we're good. And thanks for caring.
Wow. I love it.
And also... to whomever sent me a t-shirt in the mail that says kidney stone survivor, I would like to thank you and also say, what the fuck?
You are a part of the club. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So we had to take a break from Ben Bolin and Noel Brown because we have so much more to talk to them about. And we will be back with it next week in episode two, or maybe later today in episode two. We'll figure it out. Diamond, if people want to get a hold of you.
Oh, at Diamond Sincere on everything but Twitter. Just add an underscore on Twitter.
Are people following you when we say this?
No.
No?
Oh, maybe on Instagram. I can't keep track because I don't know. You know?
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. Go follow Diamond at Diamond Sincere. And if you want to follow me at Baby Hot Sauce, good luck. Still shadow panned. Or Medha, M-E-D-H-A, Gandhi, G-A-N-D-H-I. And we'll be back with more conspiracies next week or later today. I'm going to keep saying that because I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.